Well, good morning to you. It's Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000. The sun is just blaring into the window. That's a good problem to have. Broadcasting for the First Midwest Bank Studio. Brian, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all good. A White Sox victory yesterday. That was nice to see. The Cubs, they're doing a split doubleheader today. Weather wasn't so pleasant for the Cubs here in town, but the White Sox were in Boston, where Luis Robert cleared the big green monster. That was nice to see.
Hey, it was a nice week for the White Sox, right?
What it
was. What a difference a week makes. And no wonder the sun's out.
Yeah,
that is the sun. I forgot what this thing looks like.
It is the sun. I did some research, and it is the sun. It is the sun. It's about damn time.
This is like officially the most miserable spring we've ever. I saw someone on Twitter say, "Boy, these Mayflowers better be all that after the
April." Well, they're going to blow up. They're going to blow up. We're going to be close to the 90s this week.
Yeah,
they're just going to pop.
Yeah, and then 2 inches of snow on Thursday.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, but really, I mean, look. I know the Red Sox not so good, but you better take advantage of teams like that.
No matter what they're doing, you've got to strike while the iron's hot. They took a couple from the Cubs on the north side. That was good to see, and
what happened?
They're going to carry that momentum.
I missed that news. What they play some games in that big rivalry?
Yes, they did. Yeah,
Classic. Well, what do we call it these days?
I don't know the official. It's always the crosstown to me. I'm not sure the official whatever. But it was too early, right? I mean, we should be doing this in the dead of summer.
Oh, it doesn't matter because the Cubs suck. I mean, so
just weather wise and getting people out there, you know, to see some of the empty seats at Wrigley. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's reality now. This isn't the 80s anymore. Yeah.
Well, guess what? I think the Sox drew 17,000 the other day. So slow your roll there, Sox fan.
Like I said, the weather's going to help on either side of the town.
Yeah, and today is a day I would definitely head out to Wrigley Field, not just because it's sunny, because of who's pitching today. Today is one of those you buy a ticket to go watch greatness. Talking about Drew Smiley.
No, you're not.
No, Clayton Kershaw.
Yes.
No, I'm talking Drew Smiley. I'm Drew Smiley, president of the fan club. No,
it's lonely. It's lonely in there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We read the minutes from the last meeting. It doesn't take too long. No, because Clayton Kershaw going, I mean, that's worth the price of admission, even though the Cubs offense, not so much. You know, that Schwindel thing was nice while it lasted, but not less.
All right, so we're done with the Schwindy City. We're done with that.
Yeah. You can't spell Schwindel without a win, without W-I-N. But I mean, back to your White Sox, because they're the team that still matters, right? Even though they're a game under 500, they're only three games back from the Twins, right? And I don't know what you make of this division, but we're a month into the season, and given all the injuries, and given Dallas Keuchel still, you know what, sucks. I'd say you're pretty fortunate, right, to be sitting tied for second with the Guardians. I still can't say. It takes me a second to say Guardians.
Yeah, look, you know, the Twins, they're playing all right. They're losing Correa for a while. That's going to impact no doubt there.
I guess the scary thing is he hasn't really gotten going yet.
No,
right?
No. But it's not like they have – I mean, they have Buxton, who is just – I mean, he's playing fabulously.
Right.
And they, you know, they've got a solid team, and coming into this year, they dumped a bunch of salary. So, what is this going to look like? Actually, the Guardians were the ones that dumped a bunch of salary.
Right.
But both of them were
–
Minnesota
looking, added a little at Carlos Correa.
But either one of them weren't really supposed to be dominant in the division, and I think that they're playing to their strengths right now. The White Sox injuries hit everywhere, and now that it's warming up, we're starting to get some players back. The White Sox are kind of riding the ship just a little bit. You know what? We'll see. I think it's going to be a tougher division than it was last year, which is good. Competition makes you better. We have to have a tougher division. The Tigers are going to be better than they were last year as well. But I still think
they're 8-17. How much better are they going to be?
They have the talent. They should be. Now I can't speak to the results, but that I think they should be better than their record indicates.
Well, I think most people. That's why they went out and got you know, spent a little bit of money on Javier and thought that they were maybe a year ahead of schedule. They didn't. I mean,
they've got some youngsters too. They should be playing better than they are, for sure.
I mean, they've won two of their last 10. And
I mean, yeah, we'll take it. I'm not complaining. That's Detroit. I can care less. But they should be doing better than they are, for sure.
So, yeah, I would ask White Sox fans, you know, how good is this division? 312-332-3776. And how good is this White Sox team? You know, looking at a couple of fan graphs and looking at 538.
Mm-hmm.
Both have Fangraphs has the White Sox today at about a 57% probability just to make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
538 has them at 58%. So they're pretty much lockstep. You would have hoped for a little bit better, I think, going into the season, given where the White Sox were and what they're expecting of themselves. Now, again, the injuries are, you know, it's a whole different story, and they're dealing with it more than most. They're only 39%.
But this is as of today or whenever this was, as
right,
of the last
right,
few days. Right,
right. We're sitting there at 12-13.
Okay.
And you know, figuring the division and the, how many times you play division teams. So 57-58% chance to make the playoffs. And we have a Twitter poll question, given that those algorithms have projected just over, you know, a better than even chance to make the playoffs, 57-58%. Do you believe they will? Simple question, yes or no. As you sit here today, knowing who's coming back from injury and how long it's going to take, and knowing that, well, you know, at least Liam Hendricks is back doing what he's doing and doing well. But it's been a very streaky season for the Sox. Do you believe they'll make the playoffs, given those odds, as you sit here today, yes or no?
And not only that, but tell us if you think that percentage is fair.
Yeah, right. I mean, you can call
I don't.
Tell us,
I
know,
don't
handicap
at all.
It for us. No, you don't think it's fair?
No. We're into the mid to high 60s percentage wise, as far as I'm concerned.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What have
look,
I told
Joe
you?
Look, Moncada is coming back Monday. Joe Kelly's about to arrive. Foster is starting to show up like we haven't seen him in a couple years. We've got the guys are putting the barrel on the ball. That's for sure. The fielding's been cleaned up just a little bit. Jose yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday had a couple of rough spots, but it did not cost the game at all. Yeah,
TA had a very nice week, right?
TA straightened it up. Yep,
yeah.
Yep. I totally agree. Now we could talk about the weather. We can talk about how we started playing Midwest teams in April, where the weather's bad all over the place. But these other teams didn't have the tough time that we did, so we can erase all that and look forward to the fact that we're now in May. It's warming up. And the bats are warming up, and we're getting some people back. So, yes, I think 57 is selling them short.
Okay, well, then you're not going to like this one. 538, we'll pick a percentage to win the division. You just gave them upper 60s to make the playoffs.
Okay, so if I'm guessing what they're saying 38%.
Woo, almost spot on there, Mr. Zander. If I had a prize to give you, 39%.
Wow.
39%. I don't really want to darken this sunny day by telling you what the chance to win the World Series is.
Hey, you know, one step at a time. Let's just get the season back on track
well, I mean,
and worry about the World Series.
I mean,
because these numbers are fluid, Brian.
Yeah.
We could look at this next week when we're on and then all of a sudden say, oh, that's a 10-point jump up.
Well, yeah, because last week, I mean, you're thinking the sky has fallen. And, you know, how did they go ahead and lose, what, 8 straight and couldn't score 3 runs and I just for levity, I could tell you what the Cubs percentages are.
Sure. Are they single digits?
Just barely double digits. 10% to make the playoffs.
Wow.
It's not a rebuild.
Wow.
Don't say rebuild, Jed Hoyer. I mean, you
wait, Jed can't tell me what to say.
Boy, if this isn't a rebuild, I mean, that's doing a disservice to rebuild. 10% to make the playoffs. 2%. That's a milk, not a chance to win the division. 2% is my milk.
2%, yes.
Yeah.
And see, I'm 1%. I'm surprised.
Yeah, and 1% is less than 1% to win the World Series. Hey, they've only lost 11-14, and I believe there's one. Drew Smiley's pitching today against Clayton Kershaw. If that doesn't jumpstart you against the Dodgers, I don't know what will. I've been waiting for this day. So,
well, you're right about getting out to Wrigley Field. You got a split doubleheader, and you're going to see one of the best pitchers. He's not wearing a Cub uniform, but if you're a baseball fan, that is something you need to see, even though, you know, the Cubs are going to have a pretty tough afternoon, probably.
Yeah, I mean, and we didn't get to it last week, but just to put Clayton Kershaw's greatness into perspective, last week he surpassed Don Sutton, right, for most strikeouts, I believe. And he did it in 383 games. Don Sutton had 2,696, and it took Don Sutton 550 games to do it.
Wow.
And Clayton Kershaw did it in 383.
I was unaware of that. That's pretty dominant.
Yeah, but, you know, Drew Smyly, he's got his work, he's got, you know, tall order today because Drew's on the mound.
Yeah, he does. They've got a an offense, and the Cubs have to try to figure out how to hit Kershaw.
Well,
and that's game one, right?
I want Tom Ricketts to tell me how that they have enough pitching again. I mean, he was making a big deal about the offseason. Well, we got more than enough pitching. Kyle Hendricks is a.
I mean, if he can go every other day.
Well, he's actually, you know, every other start is okay, and then the other starts not so much. And just okay. I'm not talking great.
Right.
This rotation, I mean, Justin Steele can't get out, go past three innings now, and he looked pretty good the first couple of weeks. I mean, you don't have enough pitching, and it's more than a rebuild. It's a complete catastrophe.
Well, the idea of not using that word rebuild is we all know it's ridiculous.
Nobody
could say anything otherwise if you're really, really paying attention. But us Sox fans do appreciate the North side because maybe this has helped us right the ship on the South side.
Well, you should appreciate the North side because we gave you Dylan Cease. Where would you be without this
and
guy?
I'll tell you something. You know, it hasn't occurred to me until recently that he is, because of recent, he has really, really become the player that we hope he was going to be. But, you know, that is the marquee piece in that deal.
No deal. No doubt. I mean,
and we were always saying Aloy. And I said marquee, pun intended. But we were always saying Aloy was it.
Yeah.
And
Dylan Cease was a throw-in. But from the day the trade was made, I said, you know what you can't coach? 100 miles plus. And when the light bulb has gone on for Dylan Cease, finally, I mean, not finally, he's a young guy. He can command that. Who knows what his ceiling is? His confidence is now, you know.
That last start of his was wicked, scary good.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. He put a couple of them together now, right?
Yeah, he has. But the last one was the crown jewel. And there will be more. Was Dane Dunning in that trade, too?
Dane Dunning was in the Lance Lynn trade.
I'm saying Dane Dunning coming to the White Sox.
I can't remember how he
got here, but it was kind of a Dane Dunning, Dylan Cease type thing. Maybe they weren't in the same deal, but I'm saying coming up at the same time. A lot of people were comparing them.
Oh.
And people like my former partner here on the weekends was saying that Dane Dunning is the guy. He's the guy.
He's the guy you want to leave the room when you see him.
Well, now that's obvious. But at that point, you know what? Dylan was still trying to develop. And I think, again, just like with, and we'll eventually talk about the Bears and Justin Fields, people run out of patience way too quick. And
but
there's
Dylan
a development
Cease
curve.
Dylan Cease was never the guy. No one expected Dylan Cease to be the guy, except the fact that he could throw triple digits. And I thought, as a throw-in piece, that was, I don't know that you needed
to. No, he wasn't the guy in that trade. But since he's been here, there has been focus on his development. Yeah. And there have been people that have definitely run out of patience early on with him. And it's like the whole Kopech. Well, but fans are fans, right? They just run out of patience. We've talked to many of them here on ESPN 1000. They call and say, why are we still dealing with this? Why are we still dealing with the Kopech?
Wow.
I mean, you have to have patience.
Look, Kopech, the expectations for Michael Kopech, and by the way, he's meeting him so far this year.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. I mean, we knew about Michael Kopech because we were watching minor league games on NBC Sports.
It was almost too much exposure.
Right.
It was just too much information.
Right. During the rebuild, they decided to expose the upcoming pieces and stalwarts for the future, right? And that's why we knew the whole backstory of Michael Kopech to the point of who he's dating and whatever. But Dylan Cease, no one had any expectation when that deal was made. It was all about Aloy, as you said.
Right.
And then Aloy, unfortunately, hasn't found an injury that he hasn't suffered, right? And he's out.
Well, there are a few more. Let's not make it worse, okay? There are a few more he could run into.
And now you have to say, is he a DH or is, you know, he's still going to let him have a glove? And And who knows? But he's scuffled at times, and he's ripped the cover off the ball at times. But Dylan Cease right now, why would you be anything but positive and encouraged?
Absolutely. I'm just saying, early on, there were some detractors thinking that he was not going to turn into what they expected him to be. He has over-delivered as far as I'm concerned. Kopech is on the right track. I know Rodon's doing great in San Francisco, but you can't keep them all. And I'll tell you what's going to happen with Keuchel when we come back, and we're going to take the phone call from David in Wakanda. He's on hold. He wants to talk about the Cubs and a challenge that they have in the future. This is ESPN 1000 on a Saturday morning talking baseball. We'll talk about the Bears, and we want you to join in. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Sponsored by Cover 5. Use code Chicago to sign up at Cover5.com. It's Brian Hanley and Mark Zander on a Saturday morning, a sunny Saturday morning, a baseball day, a real good baseball day on the north side with a split doubleheader, Dodgers and Cubs, and the White Sox are in Boston again today after taking game one in that series yesterday. A towering home run by one Luis Robert. Lou Bob, double eights. That was nice to see. And that was like a golf shot. Did you see that, Brian?
I did, and it has to be to get over that wall. But, good thing that, it needs a lot more of that, a lot more consistent offense. But it's been a really good week. I mean, this thing could have really gone into the rabbit hole, and they've got it together and turned this thing around.
So far, one from the Angels, a couple from the Cubs, first one from the Red Sox. Yep, and we've got David on the in Wakanda. He wants to talk about what's going on in the north side. David, welcome into ESPN 1000 on with Hanley and Zander.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Hanley, your favorite attorney.
Hey, David Spada, how are you?
Good. Question for you guys. Is Jason Hayward. I mean, I heard this week that he was sent out some cryptic tweet. Is there any shot the Cubs let him go soon so that we could bring up one of these minor leaguers like Brennan Davis? Because I see they just brought up one of their top prospects in Double A to Triple A, this Nelson Velasquez, and basically not just languish in the minors.
That's a great question. Who gets released first, Dallas Keuchel or Jason Hayward? Boy, you talk about
package
bad
deal.
Money. Yeah, no,
I don't know. Is Hayward worth anything at the trade deadline?
No. I mean, no.
Okay. An emphatic no from Brian Hanley.
Well, I'd like to know which team. He said he passed up more money from another team when he signed with the Cubs all those years ago and all those tens of millions of dollars ago. Boy, that team is celebrating every day that didn't happen, right? I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine that.
Thanks for the call, David.
Mark, do you think Tom Ricketts is going to eat the money? Do you think the White Sox are going to eat the Dallas Keuchel money? Or do you think there's something else you could do with Dallas Keuchel?
Well, and we were talking going into the break about Dallas Keuchel. Here's what I think should happen. He's going to get a start, and that's I believe he's in line for that start tomorrow.
Okay.
He blows that one. Cueto's on the way in.
I was going to ask what Johnny
him,
Cueto shows
they sit
up.
Him,
what do you do?
They sit him. They slot Cueto in and let the best man win. And I think Cueto's probably going to be that guy. And what you do with Dallas, I don't know. I mean, you can't really park him in the bullpen. You can't really do that because we've got some other arms that we need, and that's too much money. And I think it's the end of the road for Dallas.
Okay, so here's he's a veteran guy making $18 million, right? So he can't be a mop-up guy. You can't put him in the bullpen so you're up 8 or down 8. Here comes Dallas Keuchel to eat whatever innings are left. He's not going to be effective in the bullpen. You're not sending him to the minors. He won't agree to go. Do you just pay him to walk away? And do you come up with an injury while you see what Johnny Cueto has? Do you know, some, and you know, all of a sudden Dallas has a a boo-boo and he goes on the IL for 10 days, what happens?
Just kind of shelve him for a while to see Cueto looks? Yeah.
You don't want him sitting there doing nothing and taking up a roster spot.
No, right. And those are at a premium, obviously.
Right. And you know, Jason Hayward, he's been taking up a roster spot. Hey, still gave the greatest meeting in a rain delay of all time in the history of baseball, you know, in that Game 7 of the World Series when he got the rallied the troops and they won the World Series, seems like 20 years ago. But, yeah, that you don't want to pay a guy $165 million or whatever it is just because he gave an inspirational rain delay.
Well, the problem is that money is so tied up. I mean,
well, he's only got a year and a half left. I'd have to look, but he's banked most of it by now.
Right. But I'm saying, you know, looking at it from ownership, the Ricketts family, are they going to let him are they just not going to do anything and let him walk away and earn that money and just pay him off?
It's not like they're going to take that, you know, they're going to eat that money. It's not like a salary cap thing where they, you know, so they're not spending that. They've spent the money on him. It's dead money. It's not like you could get rid of even eat a lot of that and trade him. You couldn't. I imagine if you offered 80% of his salary that no one would really want him. I don't know what he gives you. You know, the defense is not all. I mean, it's okay, but it's not enough to warrant the money. Right. So I'll be surprised if they eat that money and tell him just go away because it just doesn't seem like. That's the Cubs or Ricketts way of doing things. So
312-332-3776. Interesting. Who is going to get released first? Dallas Keuchel on the south side or Jason Hayward on the north side?
What would you do with Dallas Keuchel, Sox fans? I mean, it's a dilemma. And I know he said he felt better last start, but the numbers certainly
weren't
better.
Glad that he felt better, but it still didn't look any better.
No, it does. And I mean, that's not an aberration now. That's been who he is pretty much for the last year.
And unfortunately, look, what is he, 5-6 years removed from Cy Young?
Yeah.
Yeah. So eventually we signed him. We signed him to a long-term deal. Eventually this was going to happen. This is probably happening sooner than a lot of people thought or had hoped for, which I understand, but the proof is in the pudding. And he has not been able to come close to even dominating like he used to.
I mean, you know, make a case that, you know, he's going to turn some corner here and not hit a wall. I mean, you can't do what he's doing and not get four innings without giving 4, 5, 6 runs up and walking everybody and not finding the strike zone and tell me he's feeling, you know, and then tell me, well, you know, I felt better. My command was, you know, no, I don't want to see, I can't afford to see that anymore if I'm the White Sox.
Absolutely. And I think the conventional thinking was that when Lance Lynn came back, yeah, you know, maybe Velasquez goes. But look at what he did last night, past couple starts.
No, Vinny V stays. I want to see a lot more.
Absolutely.
And
that was nice to see. He did not have an easy, beginning to the season. You know, it was questionable that we signed him, but I think Ethan Katz had kind of as I understand it, watching the broadcast last night,
What do you think of that Apple Plus?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it was Phil Rosenthal on Twitter.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. Did you see that? That was really great. A tweet that said, it is more like they are covering a parade.
Not good.
That doing a baseball game.
And he said, not good. Phil was a media critic for all these years at the Sun-Times. He was terrific. He went over to the Tribune, became their critic and a sports columnist at large, and when I saw that, I laughed out loud. Because
I did too. It, look, you know, more female presence in the booth and on the field. That's fine.
That's fine.
Terrific. Look, I'm rooting for it. Rooting for it,
absolutely.
But it needs to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several reasons why it needs to be better. Now, some people were saying, okay, this is, they're a little biased. I don't know if I heard that. Maybe a little bit. Because she called him CY constantly. He's the guy that used to play for the Red Sox. So it was all kinds of Red Sox love. So I kind of get that. But it just needs to be better. What's her name? Brooke on the field. She looks like Princess Leia because they make her wear the Apple headphones.
Yeah.
And it's just annoying product placement.
Yeah.
It's just so annoying. It's so over the top.
I mean,
can you give her earpods?
Well, not only that, do they really need product placement? It's Apple.
I know. It's sad. Well, this is my point. Past saying you're on, you're watching Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV. What else do they need?
I mean, everyone has headphones. Some Apple, something of Apple in your house, and you probably have multiple Apple. I mean, everyone owns something of Apple. You don't need to put Princess Leia in that because of
right.
It.
Right. 312-332-3776 if you want to weigh in on the broadcast, too. I will say it looks sharp. I mean, the picture was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I'm not sure that it was any sharper than what you see on NBC Sports Chicago on high def. But it looked great, but it just needs to be better. And if you have a way for a couple of things to point out how you can be better. Again, having somebody call the game, a female call the game, that's awesome. I love
that's it.
And she's very, very good. But I think the dynamic between the two, maybe it's CY. I don't know what it is. 312-332.
When was the last time you watched a parade? I got to go back and watch a parade.
Maybe I was 10.
I was in a parade when I was 10, I think.
In a parade and I watched a parade.
Yeah, about Little 10, League, we used to get on a fire truck and, you know, wave and throw candy or whatever.
You know what I had to do?
Being
in radio for, no, I didn't have to throw beads. Not down there. But I did have to put on a Santa Claus outfit and ride the fire truck in downtown Springfield.
Yeah.
Illinois.
Were you running for office?
In the mid-90s. No, I was the morning guy at a radio station.
Oh, hey!
Got to do the wacky shtick.
There you go. What was your on-air name at Springfield on Morning Drive?
Xander.
Oh, really? I thought you did. Yeah.
No, nothing wacky. No.
No. Like the governor, since you were in Springfield?
No. Yeah. But I did get warned when I went down there. They say, don't say we're down here from anywhere. Because really? I would refer to myself as being from Chicago.
Oh, they don't know.
They say, we're not down here from Chicago. It's like,
they don't
okay.
like Chicago.
Little town syndrome. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. 312-332-3776. We will take a break, and we've got more thoughts about trading Hayward. We've got a couple other phone calls to take. Talking baseball at this point here on ESPN 1000. We'll get to the Bears. Mini camp is in. There were some visitors at Hallis Hall, which is really cool. I'm not sure if our former leader was entertaining those types of older players, you know, of. And the polls on Cap'n Jay Hood we're going to talk about, too, as Jay just whispered in my ear. We've got a lot to get to, Brian. So why don't we take that break, come back, 312-332-3776. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and on the ESPN Chicago app. So many ways to get your ESPN 1000. On a Saturday morning, it's Brian Hanley, Mark Zander talking baseball. For now, we'll get to the Bears and what you're watching. Lots to cover this morning. And we've got the White Sox with White Sox Weekly actually at 12:30 today with Connor leading into pregame and then first pitch at 3:10. Sox taking on the Sox, the Red Sox in Boston. All right, Brian, we've got a couple of calls on what's happening on the north side, specifically talking about Jason Hayward. Lucas in Ashland. Lucas, welcome to ESPN 1000. What's up?
I am a big fan of you guys.
Thanks, buddy. What can we do for you?
I'm just asking the Jason Hayward on the trade. What are you guys thinking? What team would he go?
Well, Lucas, I think that Brian feels like he's not really worth anything in a trade. We might just have to let him go.
Yeah. Our buddy David Spada said that there was a cryptic tweet from Jason Hayward. I'm not following Jason on Twitter, so I'm not sure what the tweet. I'll have to look it up. You got one choice. You want to release him? And then he can sign with whatever team for a minimum prorated because he's making all the money from the Cubs. Mm. There's no trade to be made there.
So he's under contract for the rest of this season and next.
Yeah, I said I thought that was it. You know, he's banked most of the money. Yep. I can't imagine you bring him back next year, but I'm sure he's a good presence in the clubhouse for young guys. He's a professional. He's a pro's pro. He you know, God bless him. He approaches the game the proper way and gives you his all. But offensively, there's been no all to give you
right.
for the entirety.
Look, he's taking up a roster spot that could be used to develop somebody else for the future because, again, it's a rebuild, Chad.
Right. Yeah. Again, that might do disservice to rebuild. But
312-332-3776. Rick in Valparaiso. What's up, Rick?
Hey, I got a solution for the Jason Hayward situation.
Yeah.
Well, he's great defender. Why don't we just make him a designated outfielder and then just let the pitchers bat?
Why not? That is manipulating the rules. Yeah, I think I kind of like it.
Yeah, well, you know, as soon as they eliminate the shift, we can get to designated defensive players. I like the outside the box thinking.
Might have to do that.
Yeah, expand the roster so you can have an offensive squad and a defensive squad.
312-332-3776. Thanks to Rick for that phone call. So we had this was interesting. I'm going to play this audio here. Dylan Cease the other day on
he's
a cold.
Doing everything right.
Right on a cold. I almost said winter's day, kind of sorta, at Wrigley Field.
He was
in the dugout and
mic'd up.
This is what we he was obviously mic'd up, as you'll hear, and he had something interesting to say.
I'm gonna go home run over to Sloan in right field, off a home run.
Are you kidding me?
That's the most legendary mic'd up moment ever. Oh my god. I die a legend now. That's all I can say.
Wow.
We're just out here predicting the future. No big deal.
Lots of happy cursing there in the bullpen. I should say in the dugout.
Yeah.
What happened was Dylan Cease, mere moments before T.A. went opposite over the Sloan sign in right center. He called for that home run. What is this guy not doing right? I mean, even the mustache looks good.
No, I was going to say.
Hey, come on. The trends are going to start again. You lived through the mustache days of the 70s. You had one.
I rocked one in the 80s.
Okay, in the 80s. All right. So everything comes back, Brian. I've got to accept it.
Yeah, I'm still not sure about that. Everyone did in the 80s. I don't know that he's going to be a trendsetter for it. Just, you know, no. But how about that?
But we're certainly talking about it.
He outdid Stoney. I mean, Stoney will give you know, he's going to hit a home run here. He won't call it opposite, you know, over the oppo over the Sloan sign.
No, he won't get that specific.
And you're right. I mean, that tells you what kind of zone Dylan Cease is in because it's with the weather, his teammates were like, no, he's not going to hit a home run. It's, you know, it's too difficult. It's not that he can't do it. It's just he won't tonight. And he goes, no, I'm going oppo over the Sloan sign. And sure enough, right field, Sloan
sign.
Said
it so casual, like he just knew everything was going on. Yeah.
How do you not like that guy?
We love him. I mean, as Steve Stone has said, there's really no... you know, the first guy on the pitching staff, except for opening day. Then the rest, you pitch when you're up, right? And Dylan Cease is our stud right now. Lucas Giolito looks good. Looking forward to getting Lance Lynn back. I mean,
Johnny Cueto's the wild card.
Velasquez, Vinny V. Ooh. I'll tell you, last
V
few
squared.
Starts. That has been impressive. Again, we signed him just to fill a hole because we were so depleted. And we got Kopech, the guy who is developing, and every time he's out, he goes a little further.
Yep.
He was awfully angry getting pulled the other day, which is because he's a competitor, and I don't mind that. I'm sure Tony doesn't mind it either. He wanted to go a little deeper into the game, but he's improving too, and that's all you can ask for.
So the odd guy out is Dallas Keuchel, and they're going to have this, like you say, okay, he's going to take the ball tomorrow.
Yep.
What if he actually gives you a better outing? Not great, but serviceable. I mean,
well, we put a lot of time in Cueto. We have to give him a shot, right? That would be ridiculous if we did not.
What if Dallas Keuchel teases you tomorrow? I mean, I still see
just to keep you hooked for another start.
You're not hooking me. I've seen enough bad. I've made my decision. But I mean. If you're going to win a division and or go deep in the playoffs, do you need Dallas Keuchel finding his game from 3 years ago? It's not going to happen.
It's not. No.
Yeah, I just I think you're just going to have to say that's bad money and goodbye to bad money and see you later, because there's, unless you can make a case that he's going to go to the bullpen and come in and throw leverage, high leverage pitches and, you know, tight situation, he's not going to do that. It's not,
you know, is there a spot in middle relief? There's somebody we can send down to make some room for him?
No, he'd be a mop up guy, and that would do him, you know, no favors. And, you know, you don't want to embarrass the guy, but he embarrasses himself every time he takes the ball. So,
well, what happens to him, I'm not sure, but Cueto should get the next start. If, I mean, they're going to have to wedge him in, and they're certainly not going to take Kopech off a start to get Cueto some time. That's not going to happen. Keuchel is the soft spot. That's where they're going to slot him in. What happens to Keuchel after that, especially if Cueto really pitches well? That remains to be seen, but and that is something they're going to have to deal with.
They basically have until May 15th to bring Cueto up, because they have that option deal. So Cueto can leave if he's not brought up to the majors by that time.
Yeah, well, he's coming.
So
he'll be.
He has
up this
a week,
week
and a day, and I would assume, yeah, he's going to come to the White Sox.
And he's looked good in his starts down in the minors, right?
I'm sorry.
We have to give him that time. We have to give him that chance.
The Dallas Keuchel era has to end. I mean, it just didn't work out, okay? I mean, it's over.
Yep.
Say goodbye.
I think you're right. 312-332-3776. Again, a couple of different ways to get that result. We'll see how Rick Hahn handles
that. I guess
that.
You can come up with an injury. You know, give him a blister, do something. He felt the twinge in his oblique or whatever. You know, something that you just put him on the IL. It's been done.
Yep.
And you take an extra 10 days to figure out what you're doing here.
I agree. 312-332-3776. We've got a couple of polls that we want to talk about on Twitter at ESPN1000. We'll get to that, and we'll start talking about the Bears minicamp and some of the things that have happened this past week. This is ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000. Whoops, whoops, whoops.
Hanley and Xander on a Saturday morning at ESPN 1000. If you want to jump in, 312-332-3776. Baseball in full swing. We're into May. No Bulls playoffs. No Blackhawks playoffs. So, Brian, what are you watching beyond baseball?
I'm watching both. And we have a Twitter poll question. Without the Bulls, without the Blackhawks participating in the postseason, Bulls participated kind of sort of for a little bit.
Yeah. Blackhawks came nowhere near it.
No, they are actually a rebuild. They'll say rebuild, and they'll also tell you it's going to take a long time. So at least they're being honest with you.
Up front and honest. We appreciate that.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't make the pain go away anymore, but they know what you know. Whatever they're trying to delude themselves up at Wrigley Field helped. So without the Bulls and Blackhawks now participating, which postseason are you watching? Which playoffs? The Twitter poll gives you four answers you can answer. NBA, NHL, both, neither.
And if you want to jump in here and answer, 312-332-3776, and maybe what you're watching for as far as who's going to go the entire way in the NBA and who you're liking in the NHL. I've got to admit something that I hate to admit. I absolutely hate to admit it. Mm-hmm. But I'm such a hockey fan. But
you
this
already
year,
admitted that you worked in Springfield.
This is, I guess, confession day. But I'm such a hockey fan, but this year I fell off much harder than I thought I would. Because the Blackhawks... I mean, everything, right? It's not only their play. It's that mess that happened. Yep. All of it has just really dimmed the light for me as a Blackhawk fan. And it's taken me out of the pocket for NHL. And it's really unfair. And I'm going to try to reset this summer and have a better outlook going in because, look, I was there in the mid 2000s when the Hawks were, drawing 5,000 people a night.
Yeah, I was covering them throughout the 90s when we could count the number of people.
I was there for that, too. And
we counted you.
I was there. You saw me.
Like 10 people a section. I mean, we'd sit up in the press box on the 7th floor of the United Center, and you take that part, and you take this end, I'll take that end, you take the middle, and we come up. Because they would announce whatever it was, 12,000. There were about 3,000 actual fannies in the seats.
Sure.
But, if you're watching the NBA – Last night, Joel Embiid comes back from the orbital bone fracture and the concussion, goes out, does a shoot around before the game, and decides he can go wearing the Phantom of the Opera mask. And this guy goes out and plays, what, 36 minutes, 18 points, 11 rebounds, and is crucial and key in, and you know, putting Philadelphia back into the series. At least, you know, they're down 0-2 going to Miami, and now they go back to Philadelphia and win 99-79. And, you know, tells you why he's firmly in the MVP conversation. He gets my vote. But, you know, that's what makes – when you see guys giving that effort, and he's still got a swollen face. And he was begging Doc Rivers and won the argument to go – he start the first 15 minutes of the second half. He was out on the floor when Doc wanted to give him a rest. But Miami cut that lead down to 3 because they were leading double digits throughout the game. All of a sudden it got interesting, and he's like, I got to be out there for this. So there are some – you know, the NHL playoffs – haven't been the 2-1 games we're used to seeing. It's been more like 4-2, you know, 5-1, and you know, whatever. They haven't been the most compelling of NHL postseasons I've seen. Usually the first round is where all the upsets happen, and you have a lot of overtime games. You've had a couple, but I'm watching that. But you know, it'll be interesting to see how that poll turns out, because I think a lot of people are like you, Mark, where the Hawks season started just dreadfully. Colleton got fired. You got a little bit of interest with the coaching change and a little bit of bump, and then they, you know, reverted back to who they are, and not a very good team.
Right, and all the drama, and now there's talk about Taves. You know, the eventuality that he probably will not finish his career here, which makes me sad. It just, you know, it again, I'm going to try to reset myself, but I have watched more basketball than I have in years, and that is because the Bulls, yeah, you know, have turned things around, and it's generated more interest. And I would think that that would probably be the case for a lot of casual basketball fans, because the Bulls here in Chicago, you know, did make a run in the playoffs, not deep at all, but they made the playoffs, and that's much better than we thought a couple years ago.
Well, front office has to decide.
Oh, they've got some things to do. They've got some work to do.
They have to decide how much the injuries came into play, because they absolutely, you know, limped into the playoffs, complete free fall at the end, and then, you know, won one game against the Bucks, and no one expected them to even do that. But it certainly, we knew there would be a playoff team back in January when they were atop the conference, mm-hmm. and they had a 92% probability of making the postseason.
Yeah, but going to that point, we were pleasantly surprised.
Well, and then they, you know, we thought a couple of weeks to go, or like, are they going to be in the play-in?
Right, right.
And they almost were. I mean, it wasn't.
That's a character builder, Brian.
Okay. Let's call it that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, when adversity strikes, that's a
character
builder.
Wait. If Jed Hoyer can say, avoid the use of the word rebuild, we can say that's a character builder.
Sure, we can, you know, don't, you know what, on my leg and tell me it's raining. Okay, but yeah, we can dress it up any way you want. It's a character builder.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
312-332-3776. What are you watching? You watching the NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs? Both? Neither? Jump in on Twitter, weigh in there, ESPN 1000, or right here at on ESPN 1000 with Hanley and Xander. 312-332-3776. Who do you got in the NBA to come out on top? Don't say the Nets, because, yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed that. You want to crash and burn? That team's very unlikable. Good riddance to bad teams.
Oh, no, no doubt. But, boy, they should have done better than that. That's ridiculous.
A superstar team just made up, you know, of one diva in particular, and I think it impacted the rest of them. But, you know, it's great to recruit and put together the all-star team and then flame out like that. You know, some people get
it. Just goes to show you have to have the right pieces. You just can't have a room full of superstars and think automatically it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what's James Harden without Joel Embiid, right? I mean, Joel Embiid came in and, you know, played Superman for a day and helped change the whole mindset of that team. Now, it might be the only game they win, but we'll see. But if he's going to be getting healthier with each game, then they got a chance. So if they even end up next game, and you got to like their chances of at least going the distance in this series. But, you know, there was a scary thing in the Boston game last night, the Boston Bruins hockey game. Some fans were banging on the penalty box glass.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
And to the point where the glass, the pane of glass, which is like 2 inches thick. I mean, this isn't anything. And it landed.
It's glass.
On,
or maybe it's whatever it is. It's heavy material. It's very heavy material.
I mean, it's not regular glass. It's reinforced, right?
Right.
And you've seen it shatter before with, you know,
with
slap
a puck.
Shots.
Sure.
Whatever. But this landed on the off-ice official who was manning the penalty box.
Scorekeeper, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's in there, you know. Yeah. He's when they send someone to the box, you know, he's mm-hmm. taking time and all that.
Yep.
But he went down in a heap because this thing is a heavy, heavy
thing. Knocked him out cold.
And they, you know, put him, stretchered him out. Good news is he is going to be okay. And they had a one of Boston's police officers or two, you know, manning the area around there after that to make sure it didn't happen again. When I was covering the Blackhawks in those dark days, Sergei Krivokrasov, who was going to be the first Russian star of the Hawks, and that never really materialized.
No.
He's about 5 feet tall. And I like Krivo. He's a funny guy. But we were at Madison Square Garden, and Wayne Gretzky was on the Rangers at the time, and Gretzky's wife was sitting in the first row. And Krivo and another guy, well, I don't know if Krivo got run into the glass or Krivo actually ran a guy into the glass. The glass shattered and went all over the front row. And Gretzky's wife was taken to the hospital.
Yeah, I remember watching that game, I believe.
Yeah, and
that was
so
a big deal.
She was fine. And I go into the room and have some fun with Krivo. He didn't think it was too funny. And I'm like, hey, Krivo, Gretzky's out in the hallway. He's looking for you. I mean, he's upset. He's pissed. He's like, wow, it was me. It was not me. It was the other guy. The other guy did that. I did not do that. I'm like, oh, you better go tell him this. He's upset. And he's like, no, I'm not going out there. I had him so upset because I knew she
was.
Well,
he wasn't
okay
worried about Gretzky himself. He was worried about McSorley that traveled with Gretzky.
Well, no, he just thought the great one was going to take a piece of little Krivo. But I mean, that's, you know, we were looking for laughs on the road because the Hawks stunk at that time. But I mean, so it happens. But yeah, the first row seats aren't all that.
No, they're not. And perhaps a discussion for another time, but unbelievable. 312-332-3776. We'll take a break. Come back. Take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Start talking about the Bears and, you know, mini camp and a few things. We've got some audio to play for you as well. We're back in 2 minutes. It's Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000.